From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergood Odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate. Ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today. And it's all about Wonder Godot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Skoll, who fights on but will be second best. As they come down to the line, he doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you along with us for the next 2 hours as we edge closer to the first Saturday in May, which means plenty of Derby talk on the program here today. You've got a big one down in South Florida with the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes, and that's a race that, boy, it looks like it could go any number of ways if you're trying to pick the winner in there. Very talented group of three-year-olds set to go to the post, and we're going to talk more about that one throughout the show here this morning. JT, just 63 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and now 57 seconds until that first Saturday in May.
Well, I'm glad we caught up because it's been a while since we've had the countdown, so now we're aware.
That's
the,
right.
The court members are aware.
Yeah, I was unable to be here on the program last week. You and Anthony did a great job filling in. Appreciate that. And feels good to be back in the saddle and ready to roll here for this road to the Kentucky Derby. And I mentioned that race, the Fountain of Youth Stakes today at Gulfstream, is a race that really you could see almost anybody emerge as the winner. There are some really talented three-year-olds in that group.
Yeah, it's been fun to listen to the trainers this week as we interviewed them on Express Bet Radio, Anthony and I. Anthony did most of the heavy lifting. He's down in Florida. But it was great to listen to him. You know how I like to read between the lines.
Yeah.
See what they say, but it's a tough field. There's at least six horses that, you know, have a bona fide chance to win, and then, you know, there's others that you know, could emerge. So it's going to be interesting to watch. The whole card down there is really sensational. It's a great card today, and people are going to enjoy the racing down there.
You know, it's interesting to think about what could be looking ahead to that first Saturday in May in the Kentucky Derby. Hidden Scroll is going to be the favorite in the Fountain of Youth today, 9-5 on the morning line. He's only raced once, and he dominated that maiden race in the slop at Gulfstream back on January 26th. He won by 14 lengths for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. And people will say, okay, it was a sloppy track, and, you know, he just overpowered the field. Whatever you want to say, he still won by 14 lengths. Now they're talking about him not only being the favorite for the Fountain of Youth, but if he wins this race, maybe being the horse to beat in the Kentucky Derby. He didn't start. That race wasn't until January 26th. So all of a sudden, we're looking at a year where you could have two potential big-name horses that did not start at two, and all of a sudden could maybe we end up with back-to-back winners of the Derby, horses that did not start at two. So the curse of Apollo vanquished.
Well, we kind of got rid of that, I guess. But it's still one for 100 or some, 100 and something. But, you know, I don't know if I would worry about it too much. It's so bizarre how horses go week to week anymore. In the old days, people used to latch onto a horse, and that was their Derby horse through thick or thin.
Yep.
Granted, the horses used to run more frequently, and and you know, not train as much. It's the exact opposite of the way that we do things today. But you know, if he gets beat today, nobody's going to be talking about him anymore.
Right.
He'll be on to the next one.
Yep. It's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, it's like Shallow Hal all over again. You know, and
well, I mean, look at Code of Honor.
Yeah.
Right. The perfect example. Code of Honor was a horse that was kind of a buzz horse for Shug, ran a stinker when he came back as the big favorite, right, at Gulfstream Park. And he's back in this race today. What is he, 10 to 1 on the morning line?
Yeah.
Code of Honor?
Well, like I said to Shug, I said his life's been
six
a little bit
one.
Of a soap opera.
Yeah.
And Shug giggled.
Yeah. That was a great question to him, too. And he agreed with you.
Yeah.
He said this horse has been a bit of a soap opera type of horse. They were hoping to make the Breeders' Cup with him. That didn't happen after that big run in the Champagne. That was a troubled trip. He went to his knees at the start, ran a big race that day. And based on everything he showed as a two-year-old when he came back in the Mucho Macho Man on January 5th, everybody was thinking, okay, we're going to see the real Code of Honor here. And he just didn't fire.
Yeah, well, I think you know, Shug blamed himself for that. Said he maybe didn't have him fit enough. It's really, I don't think people realize how hard it is to train a good horse because of the fact that they do things easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you work them and they work and you say, wow, that was a great work. But what do they get out of it? You know, is always the question. And a lot of times, everybody says horses will fool you. The reason they fool you is, when they work in the morning, they're going easy. The pace is slower. They finish up strong. And you go, oh, this horse is fit.
Yeah.
But they're not really battle tested. You know, they're not really super, super fit. They just have so much natural ability. And I think that's the thing with Code of Honor. He's a talented horse. And you know, when you have a Hall of Fame trainer that gets fooled by a horse, it just goes to show what us mere mortals are up against every day.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we don't have that quality of horse, but it's not as easy as it looks. People think, oh, well, you got a great horse and you just go out there and watch him gallop and drink your coffee and hold court in the morning. It's not that easy. If it was that easy, everybody would do it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do over the next 2 hours. If you have a little case of Derby fever sitting here on March 2nd, and you probably should, because we're, as I said, 63 days away from the Kentucky Derby. We have the cure for you today, at least an initial cure, because we're going to spend plenty of time talking about not only the horses in the Fountain of Youth, but we'll talk about some of the other top three-year-olds around the country as well. We're going to do that in the second half of the program when we're joined by Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum. Jay is in Florida for the Fountain of Youth, but he will join us right around 9:20 this morning, and looking forward to that interview. Big A, that Anthony Stabile, is going to be with us coming up, just about 5 minutes from right now. He'll join us for our first talk segment. Anthony and Dan Mason and trainer Chuck Simon going to anchor our coverage of the Fountain of Youth later this afternoon. You'll hear that coverage 4 to 6 Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 93. So make sure you're locked into that coverage. And Anthony will tell you all about some of the top storylines to watch for, not only in the Fountain of Youth, but in the undercard races. And we'll catch up with Anthony here in just a couple of minutes. Our industry star of the week comes up at 8:35 Eastern, and in between all of this, we're going to hear from those trainers that Jude referenced that he and Anthony had a chance to talk to all week long at Gulfstream Park on Express Bet Radio. John Service, who sends out Jaywalk in the Devona Dale. Yeah, we're not going to neglect the ladies today either. You're going to hear from John, his comments on Jaywalk and her coming back as a three-year-old, what she's been through the past couple of months. Shug's going to tell us about Code of Honor. You'll hear from Mark Hennig. You'll hear from Stanley Huff, who is making his comeback on the trainer side of things. Pretty cool story there. You'll hear from George Weaver, and you will hear from Hall of Famer Bill Mott talking about the favorite in today's Fountain of Youth. All of those coming up as we move throughout the show. And then at the end, we're going to wrap it up with Rosette Pierce, who is the CEO of the Barbados Turf Club. This is the first year in many years, I guess the first time in 4 years, that Jude, you and I have not opened this Equine Forum and hosted this show from Garrison Savannah in Barbados. The Barbados Gold Cup taking place later today. We don't want to neglect that race because it's a tremendous event, and we'll get a chance to talk to Rosette at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'm walking in here this morning in my flannel shirt.
thinking we could be
my
anywhere
New Orleans
else.
Baby cakes hat, and I'm going, what is wrong with this picture? I'm supposed to be in swim trunks and having coffee with rum in it.
It's probably a good 40 plus degrees warmer in Barbados than it is here right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is in South Florida, too.
Yeah, well, Anthony's been bragging about the weather down there all week long. You know.
Yeah, we went down for the Pegasus and the Eclipse Awards, and it was miserable. We had a miserable time in South Florida from a weather perspective. 50s, 60s, rain, dreary, cool. It was not nice South Florida weather, but Anthony shows up and the sun is shining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sun is shining. People are getting in bar brawls at Ziggy's, and I mean, it's just a crazy time down there. We've had it all on Express Bet Radio this week.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Poll question today. We'll throw this out. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter. Pretty simple. Let's just ask you this question. You can go any way you want to go with it. Who wins today's Fountain of Youth? Who is your pick to win today's Fountain of Youth? And we'll try to pass those along as we move throughout the show this morning. We'll get to our first break. We're joined by Anthony Stabile, the Big A, next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. A precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
For Rajiv Baraj, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War, will take charge of Final Man, Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And this horse, Hidden Scroll, is strong up front. Hidden Scroll and jockey Joel Rosario come off the turn with a 7-length lead. Pony Express is clearly second with Identifier on the outside, but look at this horse up front, Hidden Scroll. Hidden Scroll now being asked to finish the job, but the job has been finished an eighth of a mile ago. Hidden Scroll turning heads and and impressing in victory. He's wrapped up. Hidden Scroll, wow. He won by 10 or 12. High Amplitude was second. Ranger up third, then Bodie Express.
Pete Aiello bringing them home in that maiden race at Gulfstream Park on January 26th. Hidden Scroll, wow. Yeah, that's a popular sentiment surrounding this horse right now as he gets set to go postward as the likely favorite in this afternoon's Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes. Post time for the Fountain of Youth is 5:32 Eastern. Our coverage comes your way 4 to 6 Eastern time, and it includes the Devona Dale and the Honey Fox, which are the two races preceding that Fountain of Youth. Anthony Stabile will anchor the coverage alongside analyst Dr. Dan Mason and trainer Chuck Simon. They'll be live from Gulfstream Park with that coverage 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and of course always streaming worldwide on your computer, your smartphone, or mobile device on our website, horseracingradio.net. Well, the Big A is with us now. He joins us from South Florida. And Anthony, we were just talking about the weather here in the Bluegrass being a little chilly. Not the case where you are, my friend.
No, it's glorious here, guys. Sunny, going to be in the 80s today. Mark Hannig, when I spoke to him on Thursday, told me that I was the good luck charm. I brought the good weather again. So, I got him bamboozled, I guess. yeah, it's been beautiful down here. Like I said, low 80s, some sun, a couple of white clouds in the sky, Baron. That's just the battleship gray, I can tell you that. It's been glorious down here.
A few puffy white popcorn-shaped clouds floating by?
Yeah, exactly. let's not go to the popcorn, okay? I'm trying to stay clean.
That's right, the Big A's on a diet.
Are you in the pool even as we speak?
Nah, I decided not to rub it in too much. I stayed in the room. It's nice and air-conditioned, though, so I'm in good shape. I got a little Hallmark spring movie on the boob tube. And yeah, I just put the finishing touches on this car. Jude and I obviously went over all 9 Gulfstream Stakes on the weekend stakes preview, as well as the Bernardini at Aqueduct. So not really what all that's left to do at this point is reflect on what's been done. And I got to tell you guys something. I have been to a lot of racetracks, and I've been around for a lot of prep races. I can't remember a race that looks so wide open on paper, and the people down here, is all they keep saying is Hidden Scroll. Whether it be casual fans to people whose opinions I really respect, that's all anybody seems to want to talk about in a race that, a field of 11, you could make a legitimate case for 6 of these horses. All anybody wants to do is talk about Hidden Scroll.
Yep. I think these are really good 3-year-olds too, Anthony. It's not like it's just a bunch of stiffs going to the post that can't run and they're just evenly matched. These are all pretty good 3-year-olds, and I think that the winner of this race pretty much goes right to the head of the class, don't they?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm not passing judgment on these crops anymore. The last couple of times I've done it, by the time July and August rolled around, half of them couldn't beat me and Jude in a horse suit. So I'm done anointing these crops, good crops. Yeah, this looks like a competitive bunch. You know, California horses, the California 3-year-olds are the ones that get a lot of the headlines, right? You got Game Winners undefeated. Yeah, Roadster made his comeback yesterday. You got Improbable out there. You know, Bob Baffert again, what a strong hand. But I like some of these East Coast horses this year, and I think Bill Mott has quite a few, and maybe none better than Hidden Scroll. That maiden win was something. You guys were there live, and I know that it was a sloppy track, but you go a mile in your debut in 1:34.4. I don't care what you do it over. For a barn that, you know, you got to take all of the other intangibles out of it. Bill Mott is not known for his firsters, and his firsters that do win, they're normally fillies. They're not normally colts. For whatever reason that is, he's good with first-time starter fillies, not really with colts. This horse overcame the rail. This horse, though he's bred to like it, you know, horses making their debut, especially at a young age, they have enough to deal with. He had to deal with the sloppy track. And, I mean, he didn't deal with everything. He just, he demolished those horses. It's very rare you see a young horse going a mile improve his position at every pole. And that's what Hidden Scroll did. And, I don't care if he did it over broken glass. It's just very impressive the manner in which he did it with and the fact that he finished the job. And he looked to be getting stronger at the end to me.
Well, you talk about the wide-open nature of the Fountain of Youth, and Hidden Scroll is the likely favorite, 9-5 on the morning line. It might even be shorter than that by the time we get to post time because of all that buzz surrounding this horse. The most likely danger to him, or the couple of horses that could pose the biggest threat to him, Big A, who would they be?
I'm a big Bourbon War fan. I like his professionalism. Mark Henning thinks highly of him. He thought highly enough to run him in a maiden race and then wheel him back 17 days in a Remsen. When he ran in the Remsen, he ran fourth. People are going to look at that race and say, oh, he got beat 9 lengths. He was completely against the racetrack. That was an inside speed racetrack. He was last going down the backside, made up some ground, passed some horses, which is, you know, when you're against the track like that, when you pass horses, it's impressive. I don't care how far you get beat. And he did it in just 17 days. Got a little freshening, got to 7-8 weeks, came back. And his last race, probably one of the, if not the best, non-stakes effort I've seen so far, because he did it in a crowd. He was surrounded most of the way and had every right to spit it on the turn, but instead, like a good horse does and like a more accomplished and an older horse would do, he fought his way through the traffic and exploded through horses and then grinded away from a Todd Fletcher horse by the name of Cutting Humor. I really liked his last effort. Bourbon War's last effort was impressive to me. You can't count out Sugar McGee. I don't know what happened with Cordovano last time. He ran into that wicked second quarter. They went 22 and a piece into that second quarter. He just didn't look right on the racetrack that day. Now a little bit of a freshening. He's got almost 2 months. You know, I just wonder if maybe he's one of these star-crossed horses. Everything always seems to be a problem. He got the trouble in the Champagne. He got sick going to the Breeders' Cup. He didn't look right last time. When I say he didn't look right, he just didn't look like himself. You know, he looked really sharp in the Champagne. He was fantastic in the maiden win. He didn't look right. He's going to be the type of horse. He's the kind of horse that I'm glad I got Chuck with me today. Normally I'd have Jude with me. Glad I have Chuck with me today because I want Chuck's impression of a horse like Code of Honor in the walking ring. I want to see what kind of presence he has today. That may be the key to him. And Sigelman. Sigelman is a field of 11. Sigelman's going to be the third or fourth choice, according to a lot of people. And he's the only graded stakes winner in the race. Horses like that, to me, are always dangerous.
Yeah, and then you've got Vekoma for George Weaver, who comes out of that big win in the Nashua. He's a perfect 2-for-2, done nothing wrong. We'll see him in his 3-year-old debut as well.
Yep, he comes back off a 4-month layoff. 2 wins have been real impressive, 8-4 in his debut, going 6. Breeders' Cup weekend, won at Aqueduct in the Nashua, stretched out to a mile just fine. Bottom half of his pedigree, Baron, I don't know how far this horse is going to want to go. He's got to go a mile and a 16th off the 4 months. That's a tough task. I got to imagine he's going to be a little sharp. He's got that 59 and change breeze over Palm Beach Downs where George Weaver and Todd Fletcher keep their horses for the winter. He's getting Lasix for the first time. Manny Franco's coming down. I wouldn't be too surprised if this horse, and I'm a fan of the horse, I've always questioned how far he wants to go, and I wonder what kind of pace scenario he's involved with today. He's going to be second or third choice, and of the horses that I think are contenders in here, he's probably the one, from a gambling point of view, that I'm going to try to get out of the number. But listen, he certainly has a license. He could be any kind, but I always thought about maybe some distance limitations with him on the bottom half of that pedigree.
You failed to mention Global Campaign, who's been very consistent and impressive. He's an imposing looking animal, and he's got a big shot too.
Yeah, he's the last of the again, there's 11 horse field. You can make a strong case, and we'll make it for a Global Campaign now for 6 of them. Big maiden win going 7/8, that always impresses me. Sugar McGee, when I was a kid, when I was like 15 years old, told me the toughest thing you can do in horse racing is win going 7/8 first time out. I always kept that in the back of my head. He told me that 27 years ago. This horse won very nicely. Very rare. You guys have looked at, Jude, you've looked at probably 20,000 more races than I have in my life. You ever see wrapped up in the comment line? Not once, but twice.
Twice.
In a row?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Twice. That's pretty impressive. And they're true. You go back and watch these replays. Louis Saez, who was leading Roddy here at Gulfstream before serving some days, and Roddy Ortiz Jr. is taking over now. It's almost like he doesn't know what to do with him the last eighth of a mile because it's wrapped up. Everything's over with, and he tries to save some horse, which is a smart thing to do. I can only imagine if he turned them loose for the full 7/8 or the full mile on the 16th. Yeah, we'll see today. He's another one, though. He's done his best work on the front end or close to the lead, and there seem to be a lot of horses that want to be on or close to the lead today.
Well, Anthony Stabile is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our coverage of the Fountain of Youth Stakes coming your way this afternoon. Coverage begins 4 Eastern on Sirius XM 93, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, just like this program, the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Anthony, the race before the Fountain of Youth, we get a chance to see champion Jaywalk in her 3-year-old debut, her return to action here for trainer John Service. She was ultra impressive last we saw her in winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. 2-5 on the morning line. She'll go the 1 mile on the main track in that Devona Dale.
I decided to, the only night down there, I played a little poker last night. And I played very very tight last night. Made a few bucks, enjoyed a couple of hours, and had my PPs with me. And came to this epiphany as I was cashing out last night. The biggest upset I've ever seen in horse racing was when Arrogate got beaten to San Diego by Accelerate. Because I, you know, and still do believe the best horse I've ever seen is Arrogate. I'll be more surprised if Jaywalk loses today than I was when Arrogate got beaten to San Diego. I don't see it happening. I mean, you look through this field and, you know, she's a really, really good filly. She's gone. She's won on the lead. She's won from off the pace. She's won going one turn. She's won sprinting. She's won going two turns. She has done nothing wrong. John Service is, I think John Service is one of the best trainers in the country, period. But he's also the kind of guy, for a guy that won over 100 races last year, he's kind of under the radar a little bit. This filly has the radar is exploding. There's no under the radar with Jaywalk. I just don't see anything in here, Baron. I mean, I can't even imagine who would try, or Jude and I even agree on the second horse. I mean, Champagne Anyone, but if Champagne Anyone were to upset Jaywalk, you would think Jaywalk would have to have some trouble with the start, or the rail would bother her. She just has so much speed, and Joelle Rosario knows how to ride her. I can't imagine she gets beat today. And I think she takes the first step on the road to the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, well, Anthony, we're looking forward to that coverage. Again, people can tune in 4 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and stream us worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to listening to you and Dan and trainer Chuck Simon down there in South Florida.
Yeah, always a good time when Dr. Dan shows up. Big Data Machine, I think, is getting backed up into the hotel right now. And, yeah, Chuck brings great insight. Chuck does not hold any punches, number one. He has a great opinion, number two. And like I said, I always like having a good horseman, a real horseman, there to, you know, it's why Jude is multifaceted and so great at what he does. It's good to have somebody like that there. I've been around enough horses, but Chuck is really, really good at taking a look at horses. And it's going to be a pleasure having him there right on top of it. It's a great spot where we have, if you've never seen us broadcast, we're right outside the Joker's Wild Bar. We look right over the walking ring. So if you're around, come by and say hello. But it's really a great vantage point as well.
Well, enjoy the weather. Enjoy the great day of racing. And we'll be tuned in at 4 o'clock, Big A. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys.
All right, Anthony Stabile here on HRRN. And don't forget, you can head back over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of that Weekend Stakes Preview Show presented by Naira Betts. Anthony and Jude took the time to walk through every graded stakes race on that Gulfstream program. Head back and listen to their selections before you make your wagers later on this afternoon. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When we come back, our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, that segment, and then you'll hear from several of the trainers involved with the big horses at Gulfstream later today. That's all ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On an absolutely picture-perfect day for Thoroughbred Racing at Saratoga, the Dowager Empress of American Racing, seven horses were to go postward for the 1941 Hopeful Stakes. This race, the fourth on the day's card, was for two-year-olds, ipso facto, the moniker. It had originally drawn 238 nominees, but that number was cut down to 133 eligibles prior to the race. The reason that a short field of seven went postward was that three of the seven raced as a single betting interest for trainer John Gaver. The Manhasset stable had Amphitheater, the Sir Galahad III colt who had won the Saratoga Special in commanding style. The Green Tree colors were sported by Shutout, the Equipoise colt who had run second in the Special and won the Grand Union Hotel Stakes, and Devil Diver is the other half of their entry. Devil Diver was a St. German's colt who'd run second to Shutout in both the Grand Union and the Sanford. Mrs. Payne Whitney owned Green Tree, and her daughter, Mrs. C.S. Payson, owned Manhasset Stable. As an aside, a horse named Buster was in the field, and he was owned by Mrs. Payne Whitney's son, John Hay Whitney. They had, in those days, come to be known as, quote-unquote, the royal family of the American turf. To most observers, the three-horse entry of Devil Diver, Shutout, and Amphitheater looked to be unbeatable. All three had been racing against better company than there was in this field and had scored impressive wins. Shortly after the start, Devil Diver glided to the lead and his stablemate Shutout was right there, prompting to pace under the venerable heady Eddie Arcaro. Those two were on the lead, on to and around the far turn, with the rest of the small field well-bunched and not far back. Around that far turn, there was considerable jockeying for position, which resulted in some bumping. The primary offender was Shutout under Arcaro. Arcaro jostled the challenging Ramillies a good bit amongst others. Devil Diver clung to the lead down the lane, even though tiring a bit in the final furlong, and won it by an open length. Shutout was second by a length, Amphitheater third. So the three-horse entry nailed down the top three spots. In fact, Buster finished fourth so that the entire amount of the stakes went to the Whitney family. The rest of the story and the result of a very roughly run race was that an Ask No Quarter and Give None Eddie Arcaro, who had just resumed riding the previous week after a 30-day suspension for rough riding in Empire City, was once again suspended for his cowboy tactics, so to speak, in this running of the Hopeful, pending a hearing, of course. At that hearing, the stewards of the Jockey Club suspended him for the rest of the year. Many thought the suspension should have been for life, since the foul in the Hopeful was so blatantly flagrant. You'd think the young, aggressive, and precocious Arcaro would have learned his lesson from that, but not Eddie. Early the next year, in the Cowden Stakes, Arcaro and his mount got bumped just after the start while he was aboard Occupation. The offending rider was Vince Nodars aboard Breezing Home. Arcaro and Occupation eventually caught up to Breezing Home and Nodars in the late stages of that race. Arcaro then brought his mount up outside of Nodars and Breezing Home and literally tried to put Nodars over the inside rail. The stewards called Eddie in after the race and asked him just exactly what he was trying to do. Said Eddie, "I was trying to kill that Cuban." For that, Eddie got suspended for 1 year. The Hopeful of 1941 in August, and the victory of Devil Diver and Arcaro's rough ride in it, plus the aftermath in Eddie Arcaro's career, a truly memorable, if not great, moment as part of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red. runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near-record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Carrot Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Al Canarias, is fighting back. Carrot Gondi has won.
Passion.
All the way towards the line. It's Carrot Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrot Conti with a rush on the outside. Goes by him. Late run from Adam Dahl. Carrot Conti, Adam Dahl.
Carrot Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesk as his third dam. Carrot Conti recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrot Conti recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 132 and 4/5. First crop yearlings by Carrot Conti sold for up to $220,000, with seven yearlings bringing over $100,000. Look for his two-year-old selling at the OBS March sale and Goff's Doncaster. Carrot Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Into the stretch, uncontested in a 44-32 half mile. Uncontested, powerful under a drive by three lengths. Uncontested in Trevor McCarthy, trying to put away this field, the final furlong. Uncontested in a wall of horses chasing. But look at uncontested. Uncontested down to the inside. Majestic Dunhill rallies for second. And then it will be Lakai third. Close rocking on by a Duchere. The time, 1 minute, 21.06. Sparkling run from uncontested in the General George.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios. And happy to have you back with us. That was Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing, with the call of the General George just a couple of weekends ago. Uncontested, giving trainer Jen Patterson her first graded stakes victory, and what a beginning it has been to her career. And because of that, she is our industry star of the week in this segment, presented every single Saturday morning by our friend Stuart Morris. And if you haven't stopped by his consignment at any major sale, you need to do so. He offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank all of their owners, his clients, and his entire team, because their success is absolutely because of you. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales and find your next winner with Stuart Morris. Well, Jen Patterson is indeed with us now, and she is our industry star of the week. Jen, first of all, congratulations and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not only
sorry,
that.
I just stubbed my toe, so I'm actually out. Sorry. I have a little galloping boots on. I just stubbed my toe so bad. Sorry about that.
Well, what a beginning to this training career, going out on your own after spending a lot of time with Hall of Famer Shug McGahee and his good horses, and then all of a sudden you go out on your own and you start off with a graded stakes victory. You're 5-18 to begin your career. That's a 27% win rate. I think even Shug would take that.
Oh, thank you. Just we're picking our spots carefully, trying to put it that way. So it's a small barn, and you know, just choose the races carefully and, you know, hope the short horses can show up.
Yeah, it's always better if you stub your toe than your horses. And when you put them in the right spots, that helps a lot. It's a luxury that a small barn has a lot of times, to be able to pick spots and hopefully train for races that go. Talk about the challenges that you face with a small barn.
Well, I mean, it's obviously, since you have a small barn, we're not running a lot. But with that, there's a lot of hands on with myself. You know, I like to do legs, and it gives me a lot of time to be able to spend with the horses and really go over them. And, I get to know them, and, the bigger barns and stuff, you don't really have the opportunity to do that quite as much. And, with Harry Rosenblum, main owner, he's been really good. And he actually, obviously, I have to thank him because he really gave me the start to my career. And, we do a lot of, talking, and it's all together when we choose the races and spots for the horses. But, it's been a lot of fun. And obviously I've been lucky because yes, I have a small barn, but we have quality horses too, which really helps. I mean, you can't only do so much with what you have. And I've been very lucky with the horses we did get.
Well, Jennifer, when people go to Equibase and they look up Jennifer Patterson and they look at all of your statistics and those things, they're going to see that you are now a graded stakes winning trainer by virtue of that win in the General George by Uncontested. Tell me a little bit more about that day. Look back on that race and what it meant to you, to your career.
Well, I mean, obviously a great day, and Laurel is kind of hometown for me, so family was there too. But it's stake races. It's to even have a horse at this point in time in my career, even go in a stake, is an honor. And Uncontested, he's such a nice horse, and he's taught us a lot, because I think the horses, you got to listen to the horse. They'll tell you what they want and how they're doing and all this stuff. And he speaks a lot, but just having a stake win already is great. And it helps jumpstart the career a little bit too, because you kind of always need that one horse to kind of get you going. And hopefully he will help this. And obviously it doesn't matter. It always, a win is a win, and it's always great, whether it's a $5,000 clamor or a stake race. It's just great to see your horses actually go out there and perform the way you want them to.
He really seems to have blossomed under your care. I mean, he obviously likes your regime, or have you found any particular keys to him?
Well, he had time off, which he hadn't really had before. So that was a good freshening for him anyway. And I'd always seen him when he was training at Catalano's. And, he's a horse that puts, 110% into everything he does, whether it's galloping in the mornings or racing in the afternoons. And he'd get pretty keen with his riders in the morning. And he'd always kind of do more than he needed to. And I've backed up his training in a way. Like, we just do a lot of jogging with him. I mean, I'll jog 3-4 miles. We jog him a lot, but we don't turn him around too often. And when we do, we don't really let him gallop too much because there's no really in between with him. And, so we just kind of keep his stress level down in the morning as much as we can. And then so his breezes, instead of, he's got the speed already, so we don't really need to put speed into him in the morning. We do a lot of the longer, slower breezes, more for the stamina. And, he seems to have, conformed to that pretty well.
She is Jen Patterson. She is our industry star of the week, the segment presented every week by Stuart Morris. Jen, before we let you go, we asked a poll question on our HRN Twitter feed this morning, and people are chiming in as to who they think is going to win the Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream this afternoon. Let me guess. You taking Code of Honor?
I have to go with it. Yeah, I have to. I have to.
If you didn't have to, would you like somebody else?
No, I do like him. And I have a Omission Filly in our barn. And so I like him as a sire. And it's a whole kind of an old home team for me. So I'm going to be rooting for him.
Well, Jen, we'll let you get back to it. Again, congratulations on this honor. Congratulations on a tremendous start to your career. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. We'll get that to you. And, again, all the best moving forward. What's that?
I said, can it be a Band-Aid? Am I sure that is bleeding?
We'll work on that. Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Jen Patterson playing hurt. here on the show this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know about stub toes. I hate furniture.
Yeah, yeah. A longtime assistant to Shug McGahee. She galloped horses for him. She galloped Orb going into the Kentucky Derby. That was a big honor for her. And then she worked with like Charlie Lopresti a little bit too and galloped horses like Wise Dan.
Yeah, yeah. She's how cool she's is used that? To getting on good horses. So when you go out on your own, you usually don't have horses of that caliber. It's nice she got a stake horse right away. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, outstanding. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and we'll dive into those big races at Gulfstream Park. We'll do it through the eyes and the words of the trainers. You're going to hear from John Service talking about Jaywalk and the Devona Dale. You're going to hear from Shug. You're going to hear from Mark Hennig. And you're going to hear from Stanley Huff. All that's ahead in the next segment right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Competitive Edge, described by trainer Todd Fletcher as a push-button horse from day one and exceptionally talented. He had early speed, a fantastic temperament, and is a very good-looking individual. All the attributes to make an impact as a stallion, just like his sire. Competitive Edge won his first four starts by nearly 29 lengths, including the Grade 1 Hopeful at Saratoga. A $750,000 two-year-old purchase, his first yearlings are following suit, having sold for up to $170,000. Watch for 12 two-year-olds by Competitive Edge in the OBS March sale. Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners on Bridal Bell, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Palace, City Zip's fastest son and his only multiple Grade 1 winner at stud.
And here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner.
And Palace dazzles here.
Palace's first crop have been popular at the sales and are now creating a buzz in Florida as two-year-olds. Look for them selling this spring at OBS and Basic Tipton Gulfstream. Palace, standing at Spendthrift Farm. Eligible for the Safe Bet Program in 2019. Call Spendthrift today to learn more.
Racing fans, join us for great racing and good times this Saturday at Santa Anita. Our main event is the $200,000 Pasadena Stakes for three-year-olds at a mile on turf. And be sure to make plans now to join us on Santa Anita Handicap Day next Saturday, March 9th. In addition to the 82nd running of the Big Cap, we'll have America's most important derby prep so far this year, the Grade 2 San Felipe, as well as the Grade 1 Frankie Kilroy Mile, the Grade 2 San Carlos, and more. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Alternation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alternation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alternation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Vekoma on the outside, poised to pounce. Call Paul. These two go on with it. And Network Effect joins the battle on the outside as Factor It In gives way. Vekoma takes command, has to hold off Network Effect in the final eighth of a mile. Call Paul gives way. It's Vekoma by two. Network Effect is trying hard, but Vekoma is a colt with serious promise as he scores in the Nashua. Network Effect was second. Call Paul third. U.S. Navy Cross was fourth.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. That was Frank Miramati with the call of the Nashua Stakes, and Vekoma, a big winner that day. We'll see his three-year-old debut coming up along with several others in this afternoon's Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream Park. And you're going to hear from his trainer, George Weaver, here in just a few minutes. Also going to hear from Hall of Famer Bill Mott as he sat down with Anthony and with Jude yesterday on Express Bet Radio. Hidden Scroll, his horse, one for one, and it was an impressive one. He'll be the favorite in today's Fountain of Youth. So that interview coming your way shortly as well. JT, I mentioned that we are only 63 days, 8 hours, 59 minutes, and 56 seconds away from the Kentucky Derby, which means we're only 62 days away from the first Friday in May and the Kentucky Oaks. And we don't want to neglect the ladies because you have maybe the leading lady in that division, champion Jaywalk, coming back in this afternoon's Devona Dale Stakes, the race right before the Fountain of Youth. And you're going to hear that race as part of our coverage later today, beginning at 4 Eastern. Well, John Service was asked on Express Bet Radio if this spot, the Devona Dale, was always the target race for her return.
The first go-to race. And she's not a great big strapping colt-looking filly. So, you know, the 30, 40 days she had off didn't set her back very much. She put on a little weight. Put on a little, you know, little muscle once he started training and getting that back. But we put a real easy 2-minute lick into her. We 2-minute licked her a half a mile just to see how she would handle that, you know, 3-4 weeks after she was back. And she handled that great, was looking to do more. And her first true breeze back, we just went a nice easy half with her. And I had the exercise boy on her, and, you know, just sit on her. Let her kind of do her own thing on her own. Don't ask her for anything. And, you know, when you hit to the wire, just put your hands down. And if she wants to gallop out, let her gallop out. You know, what she wants to do. If she wants to pull up, let her pull up. I'm fine with it. But, you know, don't let her do too much once you hit to the wire. She went a nice easy half and 50 and 2 with her ears pricked, just as nice as you could see. And we hit the wire, and he put his hands down, stood up on her, and she galloped out to 5.8 to 103 flat. I knew right then, I said, she didn't miss much at all. Yeah, she galloped out really, really good. And she's just improved since then.
Well, it's a scary thought thinking that she's improved maybe even over what she was as a 2-year-old. But you hear him talk about that first breeze back, which, by the way, was on January 11th. And she has breezed steadily since then. And, Jude, she looks like she's going to be a handful in that Devona Dale today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's 2-5. On the morning line.
Yep.
I never lost a race at 2-5.
How many horses did you saddle at 2-5?
2, and they both won.
Take that, John Service.
Well, he's going to win too.
I think.
So, you know, I love listening to that because those are the things, like when you're out on the apron watching your horse breeze and the things that are going through your mind, you know, you told the exercise rider what to do. They're actually doing it, which is half the battle.
Yep.
And then, you know, when it's all over with and you see what the filly's done and where she is, and you just breathe a sigh of relief that you've gotten through all of that stuff and now you can move forward. And John was great. We enjoyed talking to him, and he's such a smart guy and a great trainer. So yeah, I think she's going to be super tough today, and that's not news to anybody.
No, not at all. Again, a prohibitive favorite, 2-5 on the morning line. Jaywalk will break from the inside post, going 1 mile, one turn mile in that Grade 2 Devona Dale. 5:01 Eastern time is the post for the Devona Dale, and again, it's part of our coverage later today. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93, 4-6 Eastern time for that coverage of the Devona Dale and the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Speaking of the Fountain of Youth, and speaking of the inside horse, post one, that goes to Code of Honor, the Shug McGahee trainee, who came into the Mucho Macho Man on January 5th as a prohibitive favorite, a huge, huge favorite, just didn't fire. He was 4th of 6 that day, and a bit of a head-scratcher for Shug. Well, he spent some time with Jude and with Anthony, and he talked about looking for answers after that last race.
I didn't find anything. I mean, obviously, we scoped him. He was clean. He came out of the race sound, and, you know, I just had to reevaluate. I thought that, you know, we were the second quarter, he ran a pretty fast second quarter over a fairly tiring track, and you know, I think that probably, you know, that I just hadn't done enough with him. You know, I'm gonna blame myself, you know, and I hope tomorrow proves me right. But, you know, maybe the getting sick took a little more out of him than I thought, coming down here and running the first time over this track with maybe not as much under him as needed to be. And so, you know, I just made the decision after that. I'll see how he comes out of it and, you know, kind of pour the coal to him and see what happens. And, you know, since I've done that, he's taken it. You know, I didn't know whether he would or he wouldn't, but he has. I've trained him, you know, pretty decent, and, you know, he's responded, and, you know, he's not only his works have been good, but I think he's physically matured quite a bit. You know, I think he, a little bit more would help. You know, I think his hair coat and everything looks good, and he, you know, he's pretty eager with what I want to do with him. And, you know, when you're around the barn, he's been aggressive, which kind of means to me that maybe he's tightened up quite a bit. And, you know, like I say, I like the post we've got, because, you know, it breaks kind of quickly into the turn. And, you know, I think Johnny will be able to save some ground going around that turn, and hopefully the speed will develop on the outside of it of him, and they'll use a little bit going into the first turn. And, you know, we can just sort of dangle along there and see what happens, and try to make one run, kind of like the champagne, but maybe not quite as drastic.
Yeah, that didn't go according to plan in the champagne. He ran a big race, but he had all kinds of problems, and told you earlier he went to his knees at the start. But there you go, Jude. You touched on this earlier. Here's Shug McGahee, Hall of Famer. He's won countless greatest stakes races. He's won more than 2,000 races in his Hall of Fame career. And even at times, you come across a horse like this that's a bit perplexing. And he's still trying to look for those answers, and maybe he'll find them today, maybe not.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. And, you know, I would ordinarily say it's what makes your job fun. But when you have one that has tons of ability and you're not getting it out of him, it can be a little frustrating. You can kind of see how Shug was talking there, like, you know, like, maybe if we do this, maybe if we do that. I love that line, I poured the coal to him.
Yeah,
you know,
great,
like,
line.
Okay, dude, come on, we got to get serious here, you know. And so he started training him harder, and that might be the key to this horse, even though he's not the most robust horse and not the biggest horse, but he might be one of those ones that needs a lot of training, or you know, he loses focus. So, you know, that's why Shug's in the Hall of Fame and has been for a long time, because he knows exactly what he's doing. But you start to almost second guess yourself, like, well, you know, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this horse responding the way that I want? So I think today's race is gonna tell a lot, and it'll be a jumping off place for this horse if he runs well. And if he doesn't run well, then they may just regroup again and maybe try him on the turf. He's got kind of a turfish pedigree, and that might be the key to him. Shug's got another horse in today breaking the rules that, you know, really blossomed when they put him on the turf. So, you know, I think there's lots of ways to go, and you don't necessarily have to write the horse off completely if he doesn't run well today. But I think he's probably going to give a representative run.
Shug will give a leg up to another Hall of Famer. That's John Velasquez. You heard him talk about Johnny in that particular soundbite there. The last time that they teamed up in the Fountain of Youth like this, it worked out pretty well. It was 2013 with a horse by the name of Orb, and of course he would go on and win the Kentucky Derby. So they're hoping Lightning will strike twice, and we'll see if Code of Honor can rebound later today. Bourbon War comes into this race as somewhat of a buzz horse, 10-1 on the morning line, but Anthony Stabile, the Big A, who will anchor the coverage later today, joined us earlier in this hour, and he talked about Bourbon War and how good he thinks he can be and how professional he's been. Well, his trainer Mark Hennig started by looking back on Bourbon War's two-year-old season with Jude and Anthony.
He was a bit of a clown, and, you know, he didn't really, you know, he would throw in a couple head scratchers when we were breezing him last summer at Saratoga, and we backed off on him for a while. And, you know, he just wasn't quite ready yet mentally. But, you know, I think after running the first time, it just really woke him up. And he's a big, tough, you know, he's not real big, but he's a tough-minded colt, and he's tough in the stall, and I don't think he minds, you know, a little contact. So I think, you know, when it came time to you know, get initiated there in the Remsen, he took it pretty hard at the beginning of the race, and he still, you know, went on and ran. And I think that the next time it happened to him in this last allowance race, you know, he was ready for it and rose to the challenge. And Irad told me after the Remsen, he really liked him. You know, when a horse gets fourth beaten nine lengths and the jock gets off and he's kind of giving you that look, and he said, this is a nice horse. He said, you know, nothing went our way. I gave him a little schooling because it wasn't going to work out. You know, so, I mean, he gave me a lot of confidence going forward. And then getting the horse down here and training him in South Florida, you know, you could really see the difference in the horse prior than the way he trained prior to running the first time. We didn't get to breeze him between the maiden win and the Remsen, so I really had no indication how much he had moved forward from the maiden win.
Tough-minded. That's the way Mark Hennig describes Bourbon War, and he's going to have to be tough-minded in a race like the Fountain of Youth today. But, Jude, that should bode well for this horse from a mental perspective, not only today, but moving forward.
Yeah, it's nice to have a horse that's, you know, ready for any challenge and lives up to it. He's going to have to improve his speed figures a little bit. He's not one of the faster horses in the race, but he certainly is tough and game. Mark's an excellent trainer. He's won tons of races. He used to work for Dwayne Lucas back in the day. I've known Mark for over 30 years, and he's just a top-notch guy. So when Mark talks, people listen, and I think that horse, you know, he's certainly one of the major contenders, and
he can finish.
He can finish, and he it's like he never gives up. Even in the race where you know, he ran fourth, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, it was only his second start, and he was coming back in 17 days, which is, you know, not the end of the world, but I mean, it's a lot for a horse to pack into a little over 2 weeks' time, yeah. Breaking your maiden and then coming back in a graded stakes. And so, you know, the time in between races really helps 2-year-olds anyway. I think if they have a little, like a 2 or 3 month break, it really kind of rejuvenates them and sets them on a new path. And we'll see how far this horse goes.
Well, we've talked about the competitive nature of the Fountain of Youth later today, and what many handicappers and even trainers will be trying to figure out is how the race will shape up from a pace perspective. Well, Stanley Huff sends out Global Campaign, who has been ultra impressive in his very brief career so far. And here's what Stanley had to say about how he thought the Fountain of Youth might shape up.
I think the winner, in my opinion, is going to come from off the pace. I think there's speed in there. Everybody's going for that traverse turn. Hopefully he'll lay and get over and save a little ground and, you know, be in the top 4 or 5, you know. That would be my goal, you know, our goal. And there is a lot of speed in there. And I just think that if you use your horse to stay with some of that speed, you're not going to make it, you know. Similar to the Holy Bull, I think that it was too strong a pace. I think they're going to start coming at you.
Well, there you go. Stanley Huff, Global Campaign, does have some early speed in both of his starts. He's laid second throughout much of the running before pulling away late. So he does have some early lick to him. And he said you just got to kind of let the race unfold, right? You got to let shape up and let the horse get into the rhythm.
Yeah, I think that's the key with Global Campaign. I think he's the kind of horse that can turn it on or turn it off. I don't think he needs the lead, and I don't think he needs to lay close up. I would fully expect him to run just like Stanley suggested, like, you know, maybe be fifth or something, you know, not too far off the pace, but in contention without being used. I would think that would be ideal. And I have a lot of confidence in that horse. He's a very good looking horse. He's very strong. He has a certain presence about him that makes you look at him. He's one of those horses that seems tough and runs like he's tough. So I have high hopes for him. I actually bet a few bucks on him. I think he was some ridiculous price in the last future pool, and I was so impressed with his allowance victory, I bet a few bucks on him. So I think, yeah. I win like $498 if he wins the Derby. So that'll be good.
That'll be very good. Well, Global Campaign does have some early speed. There are others who maybe have a little bit more early speed than what Global Campaign has, and that's Vekoma and, of course, the likely favorite, Hidden Scroll, who was very quick and very quick throughout in winning his debut. He should be the favorite later today. You're going to hear from those two trainers, George Weaver on Vekoma and Hall of Famer Bill Mott on Hidden Scroll. When we come back, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Art winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monomoy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monomoy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you back with us, continuing our conversation about the Fountain of Youth and about the big program at Gulfstream later today. We'll have exclusive coverage for you coming your way 4 to 6 Eastern. If you can't make it to a TV to watch on television, well, tune us in on the radio side of things. Anthony Stabile, Dr. Dan Mason, and trainer Chuck Simon will be live from Gulfstream Park 4 to 6 on Sirius XM 93 and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile, the Big A, joined us in the first half of the show to preview the Fountain of Youth and even talk a little bit about the Devona Dale, which is the race right before it. Jen Patterson was with us, the industry star of the week, and then several clips from several trainers talking about their horses in both the Devona Dale and in the Fountain of Youth. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can listen to a podcast of this show and all of our shows right after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern time here this morning. Some interesting comments from those trainers, JT, talking about the pace scenario, number one, the development of these young horses. And let's face it, this is not the end goal. The end goal comes 63 days from today. Right? You thought I was going to do the full countdown, thought you were right?
I was wondering how many seconds.
Oh, wait, hold on. I can tell you how many seconds, as a matter of fact. Since you asked.
I wonder how accurate that really is.
63 days, 8 hours, 42 minutes, and 31 seconds.
All right. At
until
mark.
The Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
At mark, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's exactly accurate, because I had it at like 52 seconds, not 36, so I don't know. Yeah. Might be a little bit off.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know who's going to figure it out. They just make it up.
Well, we have a long form, it's about 6 or 7 minutes long, an interview with Bill Mott that you and Anthony, I think Anthony did it
by himself, actually.
But it aired on Express Bet Radio, and he was great.
Yeah, it was a really good interview, and it happened right after he had won the race with Mucho. So he was obviously in a good mood.
So. Yeah, well, again, Hidden Scroll going to be the favorite in the Fountain of Youth today. But the horse that is second choice on the morning line is Vekoma, a winner of the Nashua last time out. He makes his 3-year-old debut later today in that Grade 2 race. And his trainer, George Weaver, did join you and Anthony on Express Bet Radio this week. And he talked about that big win by Vekoma in the Nashua.
Yeah, we were delighted with him. You know, I mean, I just didn't know what he was going to do stretching out to a mile. I mean, the horse is very kind and rateable in the morning, so he's got that going for him. But it was nice, you know, for him to jump up and run like that in Nashua. You know, that's the reason we're trying this. We want to try to get the horse of the Derby. If he's good enough, he deserves a shot. And each one of his works has been better than the last. I mean, he worked at 59 and changed there. He had a weekend. And you know, I was happy with the breeze. Like I said, it's really not it's not like you can, in the position that we're in, we're looking to make the Derby. You really can't back your way into it. There's not, you know, there are no two other vans. You know, I could have waited for the Tampa Bay Derby a week later, but then that takes a week away from me on the other side of it. and you have to ship them over there. You know, it's a 4 or 5 hour ship over there and back. And I just, you know, I just want to stay home. I've got the horse doing real well, and I want to see what he, I want to see what he can do on Saturday.
Yeah, George Weaver. Hey, we're going to see what he can do on Saturday, meaning this afternoon. And this is a talented horse. They want to make the Derby. You have to give him that shot if he thinks they're ready, and he feels like this is a good spot to get him started.
Yeah, well, it's a tough spot, but it'll certainly give him an indication of where the horse sits. George believes in this horse. You can tell when you talk to him. And Anthony asked him a couple of questions about distance and stuff, He got a little defensive, but that's
I mean, that's been one of the knocks on Vekoma, right?
If you're
going to knock an undefeated horse.
His pedigree, I mean, you know, it's important. Pedigree is important, but it's not the be all and end all of what a horse can do. And I think that's where George is at with him. He has confidence in this horse. He hasn't seen any indication that this horse is going to fall apart going, you know, distances over a mile. This is his first two turn race. So, you know, people worry about that. That's a question mark. I don't think that's going to bother him. I mean, it's going to be a matter of fitness and class. And so it's a starting point. I mean, this is his first race of the year. So, you have to accept it for what it is. And again, I don't think he needs to win to move forward on the Derby trail. He needs to, you know, run a good race, show that he's back at him, and take it from there.
Yeah, and we'll find out again shortly after 5:30 Eastern if Vekoma can answer those questions and maybe put some of those distance questions to rest, at least for now. And he'll go postward in that mile in the 16th Fountain of Youth Stakes. Well, Hall of Famer Bill Mott will indeed saddle the favorite in the Fountain of Youth with Hidden Scroll. He's only had one start back in January. Ultra impressive. Drew off, crushed the field in the slop. Bill still trying to win that elusive first Kentucky Derby. He's won so many big races, but he has yet to win the Kentucky Derby. That was part of the conversation with him and with Anthony on Express Bet Radio yesterday. But Bill started by looking back on the powerhouse win by Hidden Scroll in his maiden race.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were really impressed. You know, I don't know that we felt he would win that easily. I thought we, you know, the people that have been working around him felt that he had a good chance to win, but never did we think we'd see a performance like that.
Riley was very excited, your son and assistant. He gave the "we knew" on Twitter when it was all over with.
Yeah. I hope people didn't take that as arrogance. I think he was excited I think everybody in the barn was over the moon to watch him, as well as just some of the fans that watched him run.
And a lot to be excited about. A 104 buyer speed figure broke from the rail that day. All right. It was bound to happen once he hit the wire. They popped up the J word right away, and Justify came up. huge buyer speed figure, like I said, a 14-length victory. You start to think about the next spot for him. Was this the next logical spot?
Well, I mean, you know, those things start to go through your mind and taken back to Justify. I mean, nobody has been a bigger believer in the fact that I think that a horse needs an education as a 2-year-old to win the Kentucky Derby. I think they need seasoning. They need education and, you know, obviously a little time in between. That's one thing we don't have. Justify was the first one to do it in over 100 years. And, you know, I think that just goes to show what a special horse he was. But, you know, naturally with this horse winning the way he did, I think we felt it was probably necessary to, you know, put him in a decent race that had the availability of some Derby points. And we'll just see what shakes out. We'll see what happens. I mean, we're either going to be a contender or a pretender, so we'll know after the race. But we felt we had good enough reasons to put him in there. Part of it is probably because he's got a really good mind. I mean, the first race didn't seem to blow his mind, which a lot of times, you know, young horses get very excited and, you know, they'll wash out or they'll get overly excited and start to anticipate a race. But he, you know, right now, he seems like he's handled it all pretty well, and we'll see how he is tomorrow afternoon.
for you, as is, with some other real nice three-year-olds in the barn. Mucho won earlier today on Friday at Gulfstream Park, his entry-level allowance win, his first start in 6 months. Country House, a big maiden winner here at Gulfstream, a good second behind War of Will, who's at the top of everybody's Derby contenders list in that Risen Star at the fairgrounds. You got Tacitus, who's been training with Hidden Scroll. And you get all these comparisons to justify with Hidden Scroll. You have to kind of clear the mechanism and focus and really make every decision based on not only Hidden Scroll and what he's done or hasn't done so far, as well as the other three-year-olds in your barn.
Well, I mean, I think we take it a step at a time. I think as far as Hidden Scroll goes, he was the next up in line, you know, that to race. So the Fountain of Youth fell into the, you know, the calendar the right way for him. And then we've got, you know, a lot of other options for the other horses. I mean, Tacitus will probably go to the Tampa Bay Derby, and then we've got Country House, which could go to either back to the New Orleans for the Louisiana Derby, or he could go to Hot Springs for the Rebel.
9-5 on the morning line. He'll probably be closer to even money. You get Joel Rosario. He went gate to wire in his first start. Might be some other speed signed on in here. What do you tell Joel when you go into the paddock?
You know, the only thing I've got to tell him is that there's a little couple speed horses inside and one outside, and I don't believe this horse needs to be in front. I don't think we've got to rush him off his feet to get the lead. He's worked in behind horses. He's shown that he, you know, he'll come off the bridle if he's in behind horses. He doesn't, you know, it's not like he tries to run off and climb up on their heels. You know, it's all about conserving energy. So, you know, we obviously don't want to be in some crazy speed duel up on the front end and ruin our chances. I mean, if he breaks a length in front and nobody else is going, then, you know, he's got enough speed. He could set the pace, but I don't believe he has to.
You heard a lot about the sloppy track and a lot of people thinking that with his pedigree, it played a key role in maybe not the fact that he won, but how far he won by. Did he show you anything in the morning that he was going to prefer a wet track? Had he ever trained on a wet track?
We never work them, you know, we gallop and train on wet tracks, but we, you know, rarely ever put a real stiff breeze on a wet track. I mean, we usually wait for a more of a normal racetrack. So, you know, I guess the only thing I can say about that is that he's, you know, when we have worked him on normal fast racetracks, he's worked certainly well enough. I would certainly agree with the people that think that the wet track could have had something to do with the margin of victory the other day. But, you know, Do you think that? You know, sure. I think wet tracks, I think they separated a lot of fields. I think they, you know what I mean, you see it all the time. You'll have a five-horse field and they'll be strung out for 3/16 of a mile. So, yes, it could have had something to do with the margin of victory. I don't know that it had anything to do with the victory. I think he was, you know, the way it turned out, I think he was going to win one way or another. But certainly those are factors that the players have to put into the equation.
You've done seemingly everything there is to do in this sport except win a Kentucky Derby.
Haven't won a Derby.
How important is it to you?
Oh, I'd love to do it. I mean, it's great. I'd love to have the horse to do it. I'd love to have, you know, the opportunity. You know, it'd be great to do it and have my family there. And, you know, I'm sure it's on everybody's bucket list that gets the type of horses that has that opportunity. But, you know, with that being said, if it doesn't happen this year, I'm willing to wait till next year or the year after that. I mean, we're going to be in here swinging and you know, hopefully we're in there with, you know, one or more of these horses this year and we can take our crack at it.
Bill, best of luck.
Okay.
Thanks for everything.
Thank you.
All right. Great stuff from Bill Mott. Super engaged in that interview with Anthony yesterday. And, Jude, I mean, he says that this is a horse in Hidden Scroll that he doesn't feel needs to be on the lead. He thinks he can sit back. He'll be fine with maybe a little bit of kickback in his face. And look, I mean, he has a lot to prove going into today's Fountain of Youth. And if you're not crazy about this horse, betting against him as the favorite won't be hard for you to do. But He has a lot of talent, and Bill feels pretty confident that he's sitting with a good one here.
Yeah, well, his initial start was very impressive, and granted, it was on a inside speed track, and all of that stuff, but he still managed to get the job done in visually impressive fashion. So I don't know how much enthusiasm you can have against him. I mean, you can think he can get beat, which all horses can get beat, and even horses that are impressive in their first start. We've seen them come back, be short prices, and get their butts kicked. So,
I always say this when you have a horse like this, it's a heavy favorite. I remember growing up watching the replay shows in New York when I was living in Massachusetts, and Harvey Pack would be the guy that would host them. And I've told this story on this program before, but he would always say, never bet a horse as the favorite being asked to do something for the first time.
Right.
Now, Hidden Scroll racing on a fast track today for the first time, going two turns for the first time. A lot of questions to answer, and he's going to be a short price.
Yeah, and he beat a field of maidens. So he's really taking a huge step up. Going to a grade two. Not running through his conditions.
Yeah.
So, lack some experience. I mean, you take a horse like Signal Man, who's run some incredible races against top company, and he's going to be like the fourth choice. So that tells you how deep the field is. But, I might be a little partial to Signal Man. He's been a favorite of mine for a while. Since that night, I brought it up to McPeak, the night we did the pre-Keeneland show at Tony's restaurant. Yep. And Kenny kind of mentioned him out of the blue. He was like an afterthought. But it's been amazing how many times trainers have told us when we've been interviewing him, they'll throw in an afterthought horse, and those are the ones that always seem to do the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think Signal Man, he's the only graded stakes winner in the field. He's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of fitness. Kenny says he's bigger and stronger, and the thing that I liked about him was he said he never saw him train better than he did yesterday. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. We're going to get a chance to continue the conversation about the Fountain of Youth and about the entire three-year-old picture, not just about the horses that are in South Florida. We'll talk about horses in the West Coast and maybe a couple of others, too, with Jay Pribman from the Daily Racing Forum. He's going to join us in our next segment. Then we'll turn our attention even further southward. We'll go to Barbados and the Barbados Turf Club, where they will run the Barbados Gold Cup later today. Rosette Pierce is the CEO of the Barbados Turf Club, and she will join us at 9:40 Eastern Time. So all of that still to come. Jay Pribman is next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit Tenda.com today.
That's TENDA.com.
Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Great Estates winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and 4 champions.
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
Left Bank has won. Midnight Loop could not have been more impressive.
Spring in the air takes the Darley Alcibiades.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and Stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Violence confronts Majestic Hussar at the top of the stretch. They went 3/4 in 108-4. Orb is third and closing in at the top of the lane. It's Violence in front. On the outside, Orb comes after him. Majestic Hussar is at the rail. Orb runs by Violence. Orb has taken the lead. And Orb, on the outside, has won the Bessie Lou Stables Fountain of Youth. Violence was a good second today. Then speak logistics, Majestic Hussar, and he's had enough.
The announcer, Mr. Larry Colmus, with the call of the 2013 running of the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Orb, John Velasquez, Shug McGahee teaming up for the victory that afternoon. As we know, Orb would go on to win the Kentucky Derby later that season. He is one of 5 horses to have won the Fountain of Youth Stakes and then gone on to win the Kentucky Derby later that year. John Velasquez, the Hall of Fame rider, back with Shug McGahee, the Hall of Fame trainer, again today with Code of Honor. Johnny has won almost more races than any, more Fountain of Youth than any jockey in history. The only one to equal Johnny is the great Jerry Bailey, fellow Hall of Famer. They each have 4 wins in the race, so Johnny looking to break that tie today and get number 5 with Code of Honor. Well, Jay Pridman with the Daily Racing Form is in Florida. He has been there for much of the past week and getting ready for the Fountain of Youth, and he's with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Probably a little chillier than you are down there right now.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here today, I have to say. It's nice to get out of Southern California where we've had a pretty wet winter. It's a nice day for racing, a little on the warm side, but obviously a pretty exciting Fountain of Youth with the field that they have here.
Yeah, you sent out a beautiful picture this morning of the sun coming up and the palm tree, which I immediately liked it. It was a gorgeous picture. It really embodies what South Florida racing is all about, and I'm glad that they have a great day from a weather perspective for this race, because the race really seems to be extremely solid, and you can go a lot of different ways in here.
Yeah, I mean, there's 6 horses that are in the current Derby Watch Top 20 that I do with Mike Watchmaker that are in this race. So that's more than half the field, and obviously a lot of the attention is on Hidden Scroll to see if he can step up off a maiden win in the slot. on Pegasus Day and run against everyone in this race is more seasoned than him. He's going to go two turns, and we'll see if he can step up and do that. And there's some really good horses in here. I thought Facoma's two races last year for George Weaver were good. I thought the allowance wins here for Bourbon War and Global Campaign were both quite nice. The Signal Man obviously likes Churchill Downs, and he's a horse who I'm looking, no matter what he does today, I think you'll see better from him in his second start off the layoff. And Code of Honor, you guys were just referencing in the bumper there with that orb call of Larry Colmus's from 6 years ago. You know, we all thought he was a top two-year-old last year, the way he ran in the Champagne, and he just didn't perform well in the Mucho Macho Man. So this is kind of a pivotal race for him. If he needs to step up or maybe go to the grass, considering he's buying Frankel's brother Noble Mission.
Yeah, well, it's a race that a lot of people are talking about. I mean, I don't remember a non-Breeders' Cup race that's gotten so much attention on Twitter in a long time. I mean, everybody, of course, has their favorites and have been watching these horses all along. And you know, your guys' Derby watch and other people's. A lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of the field is horses that are you know, highly considered as Derby possibilities, serious Derby possibilities. So it gives the fans some fodder to discuss, but it also is one of those races where it's put up or shut up time for some of these horses, and it's going to, you know, change their lives forever depending how they run today. Especially you mentioned Code of Honor, a horse like him that's, you know, I told Shug yesterday, his life's like a soap opera. I mean, you never know what's coming with that horse. I got the same response from Shug. He cracked up. He goes, yeah, it is kind of a soap opera. I mean, that horse, he's shown so much promise, but it seems like something happens to him every time he goes to the track.
No, you're right, dude. I asked Shug, I said, why do you think he ran so poorly last time? And he didn't really have a good explanation. The only thing he theorized is that maybe the horse needed to be trained a little harder into that race. So he told me that coming out of that race, he's trained him a little more aggressively into this race, and he said he thinks he's taken it well. So that was really the only thing he did. I said, did you tweak any equipment with him, change a bit or anything like that? He said, no, just trained him a little more aggressively in the mornings. And that's it. He's hoping that kind of perks him up and then he performs well. But like we've been saying, I mean, he really needs to step up today.
Jay, you mentioned the Daily Racing Form Derby Watch, DRF Derby Watch, and we'll encourage people to go to DRF.com and to the DRF Twitter feed. It's also on your feed, at DRF Pridman. People can access it that way. What a great source of information this is. And you are based on the West Coast for much of the year, so you kind of have your finger on the pulse of what's happening with the West Coast horses. Is it all about Bob Baffert again this year?
Well, he's got most of the better horses out there, but not all of them. I mean, certainly with the Eclipse Award winner and Breeders' Cup winner, Game winner, and also Improbable, both of those undefeated, that's a pretty solid 1-2 punch. And then Roadster won yesterday in his first start at 3 in a pretty salty allowance race. But Dick Mandela's got a couple of nice colts. Obviously, Hollendorfer's got Instagram, who's going to be rerouted to the Gotham next week. I'm still not convinced that horse is a true mile and a quarter kind of horse, but he's obviously got quite a bit of talent. And even though Nolo Contesto got beat yesterday by Roadster, I thought he ran a strong race for Sadler, and I think all those horses have a right to go forward and see if they can take the next step in the next round of prep races. And besides, for Mandela, besides having he's got a couple horses too, Extra Hope, who's going to run in the San Felipe, and then he's got Omaha Beach, who it looks like is going to go to the Rebel. So there's some good horses out there. They're not all Bob's, but Bob certainly has the best ones at the moment.
I know you weren't there for Roadster's race yesterday, but he looked pretty good winning. How serious was the breathing issue?
I guess significant enough that they needed to do surgery. They sent him back to Kentucky to have it done. He didn't run up to expectations in the Del Mar Futurity, but in hindsight, it really wasn't that bad a race when you consider what Game Winner went on to do. And they gave Roadster plenty of time to recover, and he had trained quite well. But I was really circumspect, you going into the race, because the last horse that Bob had to do throat surgery on was Dreamtree, and her one race since having throat surgery was dreadful. So I just, you just don't know. I mean, you know from having trained, you just don't know if it's going to, if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
And it looks like it worked with Roadster.
Yeah, Dreamtree, yeah, she's had some issues. And you're right, those surgeries are hit or miss. I mean, there's no guarantee you can do them. Sometimes horses have two or three, you know. But he looked so good winning yesterday. And I know it was a short field and all that stuff, but the stride is definitely there. He was impressive.
He really is a beautiful moving horse. And, I mean, and he had trained so well last year at two and won first out. He's a horse that they've liked. He was one of the ones that they really liked early on last year heading into Del Mar.
Talking with Jay Pribman of the Daily Racing Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jay, what is the latest on the Juvenile Champion Game Winner?
Well, he's going to have one more work before racing next weekend in the San Felipe at Santa Anita. And as of now, both he and Improbable are running in that race. We'll see if somebody calls an audible at the last second and one of them gets rerouted to the Rebel. But at the moment, that's the plan for both of them. And I think he's really come on well. His first works looked like he needed to have the rust knocked off of him a little bit. But I really like how Game Winner's come forward. I thought his last breeze was his best of the series so far.
Yeah, the fifth-ranked horse in your DRF Derby watch is War of Will, who is pointing for the Louisiana Derby. That would be on March 23rd at the Fairgrounds. He's been really impressive since Mark Cassie has moved him from the turf to the dirt. Is he a horse that you look at now and say, yeah, he's a major player on that first Saturday in May as it is and as it stands right now?
Sure. As you can tell from the high ranking that we have of him and the comments, I think I actually like him a little more than Mike Watchmaker does if you look at the comments that we have on the Colt and that Derby Watch Top 20 chart. The thing I like most, Mike, about War of Will is that he puts himself in a good position always. He's got really good tactical speed, and he can get a trip, and then he can just sit and idle and wait for Gaffleone to ask him, and then he can move again. And that is a not insignificant aspect when you're talking about the obligatory 20-horse field in the Kentucky Derby. It's harder. It's not impossible, but it's a lot harder, I think, to come from way downtown in a big field like that. And if you can be in a good position early, like American Pharoah, like Justify, like Nyquist, it makes things a lot easier.
Cassie's just so high on him. I mean, I've known Mark a long time, and I've never heard him talk about a horse like this. He's like a little kid, you know. He gets so excited when you bring it up.
Well, it's a pretty exciting time to have a good 3-year-old, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there are several good ones going to the post later this afternoon in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. That coverage here on the network comes your way 4 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in SiriusXM Channel 93. And if you can't do that, you can stream us worldwide on our website. You can do that on your mobile phone or your computer, your tablet. Do that at horseracingradio.net. And don't miss any of the action, that coverage presented by Red Brand Fence. Jay, really appreciate the visit this morning, as always, my friend, and looking forward to hearing more from you as we edge closer to the first Saturday in May. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. We will do that. We'll send you an email about it. And thanks for being with us, my friend. Enjoy the day.
All right. Thanks very much, you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Jay Pribman here on HRRN. How good is that race going to be next Saturday, if indeed you do get the Juvenile Champion Game Winner coming back against the likes of Improbable, and the two Baffert horses go toe-to-toe in the San Felipe?
Yeah, it's almost like Bob's setting this up to, you know, like the fight of the year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It will be cool.
Do you think they both go?
I guess. I mean, I think...
Because the Rebel is an option.
Yeah, the Rebel...
And Bob likes that race.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he loves Arkansas because he just goes in, takes the money, and goes home.
Dominates that race. It's been a good one for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible. You know, Bob's liable to change his mind 2 days before. You just don't know. But I don't know. I guess you kind of owe it to the owners to do the best you can with each horse. You know, when you have so many of them, I mean, you really it has to boil down to the horse, right?
Yeah.
And there's nobody better than Bob Baffert at spotting horses. I mean, he's a master at it, I think. I think he's maybe the best I've ever seen at putting horses in the right spots. So, you know, I don't know. I think there's always a delicate balance when you train for different people. You have to think of the horses first and where they can do their best work. So Bob will make the right decision, whatever it is.
Now, when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to Barbados and the Barbados Gold Cup, which is taking place later this afternoon. Rosette Pierce is the CEO of the Barbados Turf Club. She will join us in our next segment. But first, we want to remind you that you won't want to miss any coverage of the three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country, like only Bloodhorse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Bloodhorse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Simply go to bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. We're back with Rosette Pierce on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Racing at Gulfstream Park is heating up with world-class horse racing during our championship meet every Wednesday through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb was the leading freshman seal sire of weanlings, yearlings, and two-year-olds. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including stakes winners Autumn Warrior and Orbolution, stakes performer Scrapper, and TDN rising star Explorer. In the sales ring, his progeny continue to sell well beyond his stud feed, including the $1 million co-sale topper at Saratoga. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Spinoff, he's in front and striding clear.
Spinoff, the three-year-old son of Darley Stallion, hard spun, rolled to that 11 3/4 length victory in an allowance race at Tampa Bay Downs last week under Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, earning an 84 buyer speed figure and making the Todd Fletcher trainee your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. In addition to Spinoff, Hard Spun's other recent three-year-old winners include TDN Rising Stars, Hard Not to Love, and Hidden Scroll, whose 104 debut buyer for his 14-length debut victory is tied with Justify as the co-highest debut buyer in 5 years. Hidden Scroll is now pointing for today's Grade 2 Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Night Prowler third, two lengths off the lead. Tempo quickens at the top of the stretch, quarter mile to come. Top of the page, then Majestico last, and Saham gets alongside of Luck of the Kitten. Saham pokes ahead in front. Luck of the Kitten tries to fight back toward the inside. Night Prowler has to change lanes toward the center of the course, still third, still 2.5 lengths away. Luck of the Kitten fighting back. Saham is still there and will not go away, and Night Prowler has something to say as well. Driving finish in the Transylvania, Night Prowler gets there by a neck.
Luck of the Kitten was home second. Saham was third. Top of the Page fourth in 1 minute, 44 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, all presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Pena, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, and awaiting to connect with Rosette Pierce, the CEO of the Barbados Turf Club. She will join us live here this morning, assuming that she can get free down there, expecting to receive a call from her momentarily. But JT, just in case, we'll talk about that horse, Night Prowler, for a minute, that won the Transylvania. Kurt Becker had the call. That was back in 2015. Since that time, Night Prowler has won one race in 16 starts, but he has been knocking on the door consistently. A lot of seconds, a lot of thirds in those 16 outings. And today, he is hoping to get another big victory in the Barbados Gold Cup at Garrison Savannah. And he'll try to do that for our good friend Safi Joseph, a native of Barbados and a trainer of a Bayesian Triple Crown winner. And it'd be kind of cool to see Safi get the victory in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, and Safi trains Night Prowler for Sir David Seal, who's the president of Barbados Turf Club and has been very good to us on our trips to Barbados. And I know it would be important for Sir David to win that race again. Between him and his wife, I think they've won four times. But I know it's a really big race to his family, and it would be fantastic. So, yeah, Safi's horse shipped well. He looks good. His brother Addy, who's the Addy was the youngest owner to ever win the Barbados Gold Cup, and that was with a horse called Peace Envoy that Bobby Frankel used to train many years ago. And Safi is the youngest trainer to ever win the Triple Crown in Barbados. They have a long history of success in Barbados racing, and it's a big deal for their family as well. So hope they have a great day today.
Yeah, and you remember Dorset, who won the Barbados Gold Cup in 2016 and 2017 for trainer Robert Pierce, who is the husband of Rosette Pierce. Dorset is a horse that Safi picked out and selected for them to run in the Barbados Gold Cup. He comes and wins it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that was very exciting. And the first year he was expected to win. The second year, Dorset wasn't expected to win, and he won anyway. And that was really cool to see Robert win that race 2 years in a row.
One person missing from this year's Gold Cup is our good friend Ken Ramsey. He has won the race three times. Not there this year, but it is a very competitive field of 10 that will meet the starter in the Gold Cup later today. And joining us now is our friend Rosette Pierce from the Barbados Turf Club. She's the CEO. And Rosette, first of all, happy Gold Cup Day.
And a wonderful day it is. Everything here is already filled with action.
Oh, I can imagine. How were the scurries last night?
We
missed the scurries last night. How was that?
Oh, fabulous. We made the back page of both newspapers this morning because we had a fabulous crowd. So it was like a mini Gold Cup.
Wow. It's getting more popular every year.
Every year. It's amazing. Everything is just going brilliantly.
Rosette, you know, we talk about Barbados quite often throughout the year, but when you describe Garrison Savannah and you talk about the racing at the Barbados Turf Club and the Barbados Gold Cup, how do you describe it to people?
It's kind of like a festival, really. It's not really just about horse racing. As you know, you've been here. We've got the horse race. We've got the stilt walkers. We've got the flag people, the dancers, the little play park for the kids, the calypso. It's a big event, a kaleidoscope of color and costumes. It's great. It's unlike any other horse race in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we send a lot of people to Barbados to the races, and many people that listen to us around the world have gone to the Gold Cup, and everybody just says the same thing. It's like the most unique experience they've ever had at a racetrack. And I remember the first time that Mike was at the Gold Cup with me, the look on his face was just amazing because he'd never seen anything like that. I mean, he was so excited to be there, and it's just an experience that you really can't put it into words, I don't think, because there's nothing like it. You get this very unique feeling when you're there, and it's always so beautiful, and thankfully the weather's usually pretty darn good.
It is today. It's
nice and cool. Oh, rub it in.
You're missing, I'm telling you.
I know we are.
It's a beautiful day, a really beautiful day. We had a bit of rain yesterday, and then this morning we had a bit more, and it's cleared up really nicely. The sun is out, but it's not too hot because there's a really nice breeze blowing right now. So it's the perfect day.
Yeah,
perfect day for the Gold Cup.
I don't know if you're trying to make me cry, Rosette, but it's working. I'm getting teared up. It is truly one of those places for our listeners, if you have not been, you need to go check it out. And the part that I love, maybe as much as the race, is the parade that happens before the Gold Cup. But talk a little bit about the parade, Rosette.
We have what we call the Sandy Lane dancers, and as usual, they're resplendent in their pink, and they dance to all the really recent and popular Calypso tunes, which are played live by our very special Royal Barbados Police Force Band, and the cadets and the Stoatwalkers. It's just fabulous. I hate to toot our own horn, as they say, but what else can I do? It's just amazing to me.
Spend a minute talking about some of the horses that we're going to see compete in the Gold Cup later today.
Well, this Gold Cup in particular, the consensus is that this is probably the most competitive group we've had in a really, really long time. Yeah, we've had Ken Ramsey bring over some fabulous horses, and that was really exciting for us, and we're going to miss him. But this year, the locals are fabulous. We've got three top locals in the race, and everybody's excited about them because we haven't had a local win the race in, many, many years, 20 years at least. So Northern Star, Brave Star, Gandalf, those are the three local horses. Northern Star is going for his 11th straight win with the Gold Cup, and he's leading the local charge.
Wow.
Then is he going to be the favorite?
Night Prowler. Pardon?
Is he going to be the favorite?
Well, I was just going to get to the favorite, and I think he will be favorite simply because he's being ridden by Jalon Samuel, who's won the Gold Cup, as you know, for the last 3 years in a row. So Night Prowler, he was recently purchased from Gulfstream by Sir David Seal. And Sir David Seal is going for his 7th Gold Cup win. So that combination, it's hard to go against history. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So you've got an owner going for his 7th and a jockey going for his 5th. That's a winning combination, I'd say.
Well, Rosette, I'm prepared for Sir David Seal to win the Gold Cup later today. I have a full bottle of Foursquare rum on my bar at home. So the minute his horse crosses the finish line in front, I'm going to toast Sir David with some Foursquare rum.
Great. I'll let him know that.
Please do. How is he feeling? I know last year he was a little under the weather when he came to the Gold Cup. Is he doing okay?
He's wonderful. He's fully recovered. He did have a bout of illness late last year. He went up to Miami, had some work done, and when he got back, he said he's a new man, and he really is. He really is. So, yeah, he's going to have a great day. He is going to have a great day. He's got Safi Joseph down with him because Safi's training the horse he bought.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's positive. He's truly positive. So,
well,
I think they could do it.
Rosette, you sound amazing. We can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here this morning. Please say hello to Robert for us and to everybody there. We wish we could be there, but please know we are there in spirit, and we'll be doing everything we can to tune into the Gold Cup later today. Oh, I think we lost her.
Yeah.
There you go. See you, Rosette. That's what you get for us sitting back here.
Wow.
No, what a great experience. What wonderful people. And you can just hear it, right, in Rosette's voice.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's excited.
Is how everybody in Barbados is. And what a day it's going to be. And we will truly miss being there later this afternoon. Got to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition, tell you what's ahead later today on HRN. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Power. Carrot Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canarias, is fighting back. Carrot Gondi has won.
Passion.
All the way towards the line. It's Carrot Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrot Conti with a rush on the outside. Goes Bannum. Lead one from Adam Dahl. Carrot Conti, Adam Dahl.
Carrot Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Carrot Conti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrot Conti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Carrot Conti sold for up to $220,000, with seven yearlings bringing over $100,000. Look for his two-year-old selling at the OBS March sale and Goff's Doncaster. Carrot Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Loyal's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Competitive Edge, described by trainer Todd Fletcher as a push-button horse from day one and exceptionally talented. He had early speed, a fantastic temperament, and is a very good-looking individual. All the attributes to make an impact as a stallion, just like his sire. Competitive Edge won his first four starts by nearly 29 lengths, including the Grade 1 Hopeful at Saratoga. A $750,000 two-year-old purchase, his first yearlings are following suit, having sold for up to $170,000. Watch for 12 two-year-olds by Competitive Edge in the OBS March sale.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, we hope these last 2 hours help to cure your Derby fever, at least for a little bit, because you got plenty of time to get over it completely, I guess, as we edge closer to the first Saturday in May. 63 days, 7 hours, 51 minutes, and 21 seconds away from right now. And we'll have more Derby talk for you later today, 4 to 6 Eastern, as Anthony Stabile, Dr. Dan Mason, and trainer Chuck Simon bring you coverage of the Fountain of Youth, the Devona Dale, and the Honey Fox. You can tune into that coverage, SiriusXM 93, and worldwide on our website. Stream us at horseracingradio.net. And we'll remind people to head to our website, check out the podcast of this program, and the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts with your selections, JT, for all the big races.
Oh, yeah, it's action-packed show, and I think people are going to like the outcome.
Well, our thanks to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who joined us in the first half of the show, industry star Jen Patterson, Jay Pridman from the Daily Racing Forum, and Rosette Pierce from the Barbados Turf Club. But a lot of fun here this morning, and again, back at 4 Eastern this afternoon to continue down the road to the Kentucky Derby, that coverage presented by Red Brand Fence. Our thanks to Lee Delapina, our producer, to Sean C. for handling our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.